If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today's episode is for everyone who's feeling burned out, stuck, or just maybe not sure where to go next in their career. And I'm so excited that I'm joined today by Heather Hayes, who is on a mission to empower entrepreneurs to optimize their careers and lifestyles. Heather is a business mentor, speaker, wife, and mom. Once upon a time, she founded and operated a business that generated over $1 million in revenue, inspiring her to share her secrets inside her book, The Business Diaries. We'll be diving into why self-care is a critical piece of the puzzle in your career, why popularity doesn't always equal profitability, and I'll be coaching Heather live on how to align her next steps with what truly lights her up. If you've been dreaming of a fresh start and don't know where to begin, this conversation is going to be for you. Let's get started. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you today.
Oh, I am so excited to have you here and talk. Can't wait to get into your book and your story. But let's start with your career. You've done so much. You've built a business. You've written a book. You've mentored others. Can you give us a quick snapshot of what your career has been up to this point?
Absolutely. So I knew at a very young age what an entrepreneur was because I was surrounded by a lot of them in my family. And I was always really curious about their purpose, their mission. Even at a very young age, I knew that they had a place in the community, that they were serving a valuable resource in the community. I knew that. So when I was in high school, I worked for an entrepreneur. And then after college, I did the same. And then in my mid-30s, I decided with my husband that we wanted to open a business. So he had his own career, and this would be something for me to build my career upon after working for the other small businesses. So I opened in the greater New Orleans area a children's indoor playground for parties and play dates, and it was called Palm Tree Playground. It was beach themed. And in the 5 years we owned it, we eventually sold it, I learned so many amazing things that I can pass along to other business owners. So at first I wasn't sure if that would be helpful. And then once we did sell, I started having a lot of phone calls. Can you help me with this part of owning a business or that? And so I found my niche in helping people think through things that maybe they wouldn't know otherwise.
That is amazing. And I can just imagine, I mean, as entrepreneurs, you learn everything that it entails to run a business.
Yes.
How was that experience for you starting this indoor playground, which is such a fun business? And how did
you? It was really fun. I mean, it was great. And so that's the thing. From the outside, and that I think we're going to talk about popularity versus profitability.
Yeah, you can go into that right away.
Everybody was so excited about it, including myself. But the reason why I wrote the book, The Business Diaries, 10 Startup Secrets for Female Entrepreneurs, is because the way things look and the reality of things are not always the same. Obviously, we all know that. And so what I wanted to do was put into words 10 secrets that if I had known, it would have saved me so much time, money, and energy. And so talking about popularity, I remember this one story. In New Orleans, right before the holidays, the weather is not always 100% fantastic. So kids want a place to go after school. And this was a Friday. We were packed. I mean, probably 100 kids on the playground. And I remember seeing one of my girlfriends. She was across the playground and she was looking at me. And Teresa, she was doing this motion like this. Look at me doing like this. And I looked at her and I was like, what are you doing? What are you saying? And she said, you are raking in the dough. And I looked around and I thought to myself, oh, I can see why she thinks that. We are super busy today. We are raking in the dough. But what I realized afterwards is you can be popular. You can look at people's Instagrams and see lots of followers. But if your message on Instagram or wherever you're advertising isn't driving people to your website to purchase whatever offer you have, the popularity does not turn into profitability. So what I was doing was I was creating brand awareness around, this is a great indoor playground, but all of our money was made on parties. So what I should have been shifting to was, this is a great party venue and we just happen to have a playground. But I didn't learn that until 2 years into running the business. So these are things that I started realizing as I was growing all these numbers and we were having all this success and we were winning awards, but it didn't mean that we were making so much money. We were doing fine, but it wasn't what we were hoping for. So that was one of the biggest lessons that I learned. I was continually comparing myself to other people. And what I learned was, you can learn from other people, but don't compare yourself to them because you truly don't know their story.
I love that insight. And I think in our world today, there is so much of that happening, right? We, all the social media, we see everyone's highlight reel. And we think everyone is so successful and popular and all these amazing things. And we are falling short in everything because you know, this is not what my life certainly does not look like. Life. It is very messy behind the scenes. How had that impacted you often? Others saw like you must be doing so well and you're doing everything right, but it doesn't always feel like that on the inside.
Right. It doesn't. And I felt terrible. And so honestly, I stopped taking care of myself because I thought I had to take care of the business. It was almost like a punishment. Like, well, you don't have time for yourself because you need to do this for the business instead. And so it really wasn't until I went to an entrepreneurial training program that was only for entrepreneurs. And I walked into that room of 30 other people who are also business owners. And I realized, oh, I'm not alone. These people are experiencing exactly what I'm experiencing. It might be in different industries, but we all have the same story. And once I got around true peers in that way, I was able to give up that guilt and start working towards a more profitable and wonderful business in the sense of it had deep meaning again.
Oh, that's such an important insight. And I can so relate to what you're saying. And I feel like that is no matter if you're an entrepreneur and maybe somewhere else in your career, it can be so easy to feel like we're falling short because we don't have what everyone else seems to have. And then we somehow punish ourselves or feel like we're not good enough. We don't put ourselves first. We don't deserve self-care. And that can really eat away at us. And it's so helpful to have a community that supports you and lifts you up and feels like, no, you're doing amazing things. It's hard.
It is hard, but it's important to find that. And so I think that with self-care, I mean, I truly believe self-care is good business. I almost feel like it needs to be written in business plans. I think certainly it can be part of your day. And, you know, for people who don't own their own businesses and maybe work for somebody else, I think you can even work it into your schedule so that you don't feel like that job is running you. You're using that job as an investment in your future. It's working for you. You're not working for it. I really have that. I think it's very important, that little entrepreneurial mindset, regardless of what position you're in. So if you're working for somebody, if you're a volunteer, or if you have your own business, you can have that mindset of, I'm going to take care of myself because it's going to take care of the business.
Tell me more about that mindset. What you just said was so critical of... It's sure working that. For you. You're not working for it.
Right. Well, I started thinking about a few years ago, people who want to own their own business, but truly can't because of whatever's going on in their life. Maybe they have to keep their job because of not only finances, but healthcare. So what do you do for that person? How do you move the needle forward for them? And what I discovered was you can have the entrepreneurial mindset in anything you do. So let's say you work 8 to 5 somewhere. But your dream is to own your own business. Perhaps you get up a little bit earlier and you start reading books about people who are in the corporate world and shifted to working as an entrepreneur in their own business. Only 10 pages a day. 10 pages a day over a month, you'll finish an entire book. Over a year, you're going to have read 12 books. It's amazing. Maybe every day you spend 10 minutes jotting down your ideas for your business. It doesn't have to be much. It's just something you do before work. You start using that money that you're earning and just put a very small amount as your investment for your small business. So now your job is working for you. I think the entrepreneurial mindset can literally be used if you're a student. It can be used if you're a volunteer because it's somebody who is looking at a big picture. They're innovating ideas to move lives forward. They're offering something valuable, and anybody can do it. Anybody can adopt that mindset and grow their life. And so it makes me sad when people say, you know, I can't do this because of my job. I think, well, what if you used your job as a platform? And instead of it being a negative, it's this beautiful positive piece. You can meet people, you can run a little side hustle, you can start saving money, you can use the job in a way that it is propelling you forward in your future, and it's not just something you have to do 8 hours a day.
Oh, what a powerful reframe to use your job as something positive. And I think a lot of our listeners, they might be like, oh, this is really hard because I don't like my job. Mm-hmm. But what you just said is there are so many aspects that you can lean into of you're getting paid. So yep. What can you do with that? Mm-hmm. And then being mindful of your time, as you said, 10 pages a day or spending 10 minutes a day on something that moves you closer to where you want to go really adds up over time.
It really does. And it's just incremental micro steps that mm-hmm. after a year, you've built this beautiful thing that you didn't even know was possible because you didn't yeah. think you had the time for it. And so yeah. I think that that's really important. Now, if you do own your own business and you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I worked, you know, I don't know, 18 hours a day, basically. I mean, I remember I did that. I was just like, oh, I don't need to sleep anymore. I'll just work. Well, again, that's, you need a little reframe, because I was actually talking to a mindset coach who does a lot of work in for fat loss for women, high achieving women as well. And she had this great idea that is backed by science that if you spend 30 minutes exercising and then you eat a healthy meal, you'll actually work smarter, better, harder when you are at your job because your brain's fresh. And so taking that hour up front to take care of yourself will actually get more work done later.
Yes. Oh, that is, it's so important to take care of ourselves. Yeah. I fully agree. Yeah. And you just started speaking about the fat loss, and I'm really excited to learn more about that because you shared with me that you're currently in the certification process for the faster way to lose fat to honor that secret. And I love the concept of combining simple exercise and whole food nutrition to get healthy and feel your best. Yeah. Tell me more about it is that you're learning there.
So really, I have this idea that I want to help inspire, energize, and empower female entrepreneurs to create life-driven businesses. And the way we do that is we work on brain, body, business. So brain, mindset, body, health, and wellness. And then, of course, business classes are different than entrepreneurship classes. So I love getting into the education of actual entrepreneurship. And so part of my learning through all of this program that is the leading digital program for fat loss and intermittent fasting. It's called The Faster Way to Fat Loss. And the owner, Amanda Truss, is looking to build a $1 billion business, which I love the idea of being part of something where they're building a $1 billion business. To me, that's very exciting. On top of that, I've been living that lifestyle for quite some time now. And the progress, some people, it's very quick, some people it's very slow, but really it's not the point. The point is the lifestyle that you get from taking care of yourself, from sleeping well, from eating whole food nutrition, from moving your body, from lifting weights, to the people that you meet who are also doing the same thing, who are business owners but are taking care of themselves. It's this whole new world that I didn't know about before. And that's what I love about it. So I don't know that I'm going to be a huge faster way coach, but it is going to be a part of the message that we have to take care of our whole body, our mind, and our business.
That's such an interesting mindset, because when I first think about a fast way to lose fat, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not allowed to eat and I have to do a whole bunch of exercising and does not sound exciting. But for you, it's really the much bigger picture of how do we take care of ourselves and how can we be our best selves?
Right. And if there's a program that allows you to prepare all your foods on Sunday and you're a busy entrepreneur, then I know, oh, I'm eating all week. I'm eating healthy foods all week. And there's a program that I can do in my office for 30 minutes on my lunch break. Well, I can do that. Anybody can do that. And so those are the things that I'm learning and I want other people to learn, that you don't have to have a fancy gym membership. You don't have to have a cook or chef doing it for you. You can do it yourself. You just need a little education.
I really like that. It becomes doable, because the idea of It becomes doable. And I think that goes back to the micro steps. And mm-hmm. I feel like in our society, we so want overnight success. Like, yeah. I don't want to spend 3 years doing something. Like, can I just have it tomorrow? But it's so often not realistic, especially when you're talking about personal changes, and doing a very small step every day is really the one that gives us big steps in the end.
It's true. And I don't know who said it, but the time is going to pass anyway. So are you going to be doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Mm-hmm. You get to choose. That's the beautiful thing. We all get to choose.
Yeah. 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 Right. In 1 year, you're going to be 1 year older. Mm-hmm. And then what do you want to look back on in that 1 year? Mm-hmm. Is there something? And I feel like actually it's easier to think about where do we want to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and then get clear about, okay, what do I want my life to look like, and work being part of that. And then work backwards, be like, okay, what mm-hmm. are the things I want to do? And that becomes much more doable, right? I mean, even when you think about a career change, opening a business, if I say I want to open a business, that sounds overwhelming. But if I think like, okay, in 5 years, I want to operate a business. Okay, I'll start with reading a book this month. It becomes suddenly doable.
It does. And may I say it even is fun. It's great to grow your mind, and personal development can work for anybody. So then you start seeing it in other places. You think, oh, wait a second. My daughter, who's a senior in high school right now, who could burn out right now because of college essays, what if I teach her this? What if I teach her to take a 30-minute walk when she can't decide what to do with her next calculus problem? And she just takes that moment to herself. What message am I sending her? And if we had a business that optimized health across the board, think what your business could look like if everybody had taken a 30-minute walk on their lunch break and eaten a healthy, nutritious lunch. It changes the game, and everybody can have access to it. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah. And it's, again, the long-term vision, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we might not see a huge difference at the end of the day or the end of this week. No. But if you're running a business, or if you're leading a team mm-hmm. and no one is taking care of themselves, and everyone is going to be burned out by the end of the year because it's just a huge workload and they're not taking care of themselves, you mm-hmm. will see a difference versus mm-hmm. when you have a team that still is working at their best.
100%. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that it starts so early. I've never thought about that. But yes, mm-hmm. it's about teaching our children those skills as well.
Right. I would talk to my daughters. I have two daughters. I'm like, let's have entrepreneurial mindsets about this. Entrepreneurs are innovators. They are creative. They're using their ambition to propel them forward. How can you do that in school? What clubs can you join? What can you create? You know, how can you take a club that already exists and just make it better? It really bleeds over onto everything. Maybe you're a volunteer. Volunteers can use this every day. And volunteers, I really believe that they hold up communities in a lot of ways. So anybody can adopt this mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way I often talk about it, and I think it's very aligned, is to take charge and not let life happen to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that is aligned with the entrepreneurial mindset, because a lot of times things just happen to us. We get this job because that just was the one we got. And then things keep happening to us, and we just feel like we have to live the life that's happening to us. But instead, we can actually take charge of it and have that entrepreneurial mindset of like, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And then also take steps to make that happen.
Right. And just little tiny steps. You don't have to quit your job tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to run a marathon. You don't have to stop eating. You just little things.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's those mm-hmm. little steps that add up. Mm-hmm. And as you are finishing your certification, I know that you had some thoughts about what are you going to be doing next? Tell me more about the thoughts that you've been having about what's next for you professionally.
So I'm designing a 3-day challenge right now, which would be the Life-Driven Entrepreneurial Challenge. And it would just be 3 days, and we would focus on mindset 1 day, health and wellness the 2nd day, and the entrepreneurial tips and tricks that I've learned the 3rd day. And I would like to start running that once a month. That's my next big push that I want to do. And I will use the book as a reference. So this book, as I said, it started out 100,000 words. It was really long and windy. And I had a book coach, and she said, Heather, let's make it short, like short, read it over a weekend, distill all the information like you're a best friend sharing it. And so that's kind of what I want the challenge to be like too. Maybe it's for someone who's always had this idea in the back of their head and they want to start a business. That could be work for them. Or it could be for someone who's thinking, you know what, I've been doing this for a little while now. I need to look at this differently. It could be for them as well.
That's so awesome. And as you've done, I invite all my podcast guests to also speak this, take the Sparkotype assessment.
Yes.
For any of our listeners who are not familiar with it, the Sparkotype assessment is a free assessment. It takes 10, maybe 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can take it for free on sparkotype.com. It originated from the award-winning author, teacher, founder, business advisor, Jonathan Fields, who is just an absolutely incredibly inspiring person, speaker, author. And what I so love about the Sparkotype assessment, that it helps us not identify necessarily what we're good or bad at, because we said earlier, mm-hmm. right, we can be really good at things and they still mm-hmm. really drain us. But what gives us energy and makes us feel fulfilled and excited and like we're doing something that has purpose? And then what are the things that are draining for us? Mm-hmm. And in your case, your primary mm-hmm. Sparkotype showed up as the maker.
Yes.
So for our audience, makers are the ones who love to create. It's the thing that gets them out of bed in the morning. As a maker, you're most alive and engaged when you can start with an idea and then turn that idea into something that exists in the world. So that process of creation is so mm-hmm. fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how, if first of all, does this resonate with you? And is that something that also makes it exciting to create things like your own business, a 3-day challenge, a book?
Oh, it makes it extremely exciting to the point where I can't sleep at night because I have so many notebooks filled with notes of things I want to do next. I certainly have driven my husband crazy over the years with these ideas. So yes, this is part of it. But what I've realized is, the excitement I get from creating my own things that I love, it has now transferred to other people. Like if someone says, I have this business doing blah, 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 I get so excited about helping them with ideas that they can possibly do to make it even better. And so
wow.
That's when I started realizing, because at first I was like, I don't want to be a coach. I don't want to be a mentor. That's just, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, oh, this excitement transfers to other people. And I didn't know it could do that.
Yes. And I think your shadow Sparkotype comes right. into that as well, which is in your case, the sage. And the yes. sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You right. live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped mm-hmm. to life, experience life differently. And when you see the lights of discovery go on in the faces of others, it's magic. Does that resonate as well?
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. When I read that, I couldn't believe it was written. Because I felt like someone wrote it for me personally.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm. It is. This is amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, I think that kind of puts it in perspective for me because I always knew I was the maker. I mean, I didn't know that terminology for it, but I knew yeah. I liked to create things. I didn't know that there was a second aspect to it of the illumination teaching, but that probably goes into the speaking and why I like to write. So it all makes sense to me.
Yeah. And a lot of times when we come alive most, mm-hmm. when we can leverage our shadow Sparkotype mm-hmm. to do the work of our primary even more. So yeah. I wonder if that the best moments are the ones where you get to teach and share insights with others that then allows to create something.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is so exciting to see someone tell you something and then you give them an idea another way and then they go off on this tangent that they might not have come up with otherwise. And it's so rewarding. And this is a new thing for me. I haven't really done this until after I sold my business. And that's when I started realizing this other part of not just being a coach, but really creating with other people.
Mm-hmm. That is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it seems like early on in your career really leaned into the maker of creating your own indoor playground. I mean, that must have been for the maker creating this must have been so, I can't even imagine how fulfilling that must have been.
It was. It was really fun. It was this old Honda dealership. And so you walked in, it was all concrete walls. And then all of a sudden it was this fun, you know, joyful place. I will tell you though, that I've also had corporate jobs. So I know the other side of this. And I never understood why, when I was in corporate jobs, I was so grateful for them. And actually, my friends had gotten me interviews. So I felt like, okay, I'm going to do a great job because my dear friend got me this job interview. Or, you know, my high school friend got me, you know, this job interview. So I always felt a lot of responsibility when I had those jobs. And I didn't understand why my friends were so successful at them and enjoying them so much. And I literally felt empty when I was there. I couldn't understand why putting on that suit every day and going to this, you know, a certain place and doing the same thing, and it wasn't filling me up. And I always thought there was something wrong with me. And so I think what happens is you start thinking, if you're not working in, you know, your spark type, you start thinking that you're lazy or you can't follow through with things, or your mind's just scattered and you can't do this important work at the, you know, whatever company you're at. So for me, following my intuition really saved me in a lot of ways in my 20s, because I would have gone down this path of depression. And what happened was, is I started about 15 years ago this project. Imagine that. And it was called Professional Authenticity. I started interviewing women who had successful careers, but who had pivoted. So they might have been doing one thing, and then all of a sudden they were doing another thing. So I had a girlfriend who was working at a huge accounting firm, but she always wanted to be a doctor. So at 30 years old, she went back to school and became a radiologist. I had a sister-in-law who was always in business. And then she had a daughter who was special needs, and she became an attorney for kids with special needs in schools. You know, all these people, some of them, one of, you know, the ones that were more popular, she was designing jeans. And then she realized she wanted to be more organized and help people do organize, you know, like planners, and her name's Erin Condren, and she's pretty famous now. I mean, so all these amazing women. And what I realized was they didn't define themselves by their jobs, but their jobs were defined by their personalities. Yes. So the vocation was due to their persona, not the opposite way around. And so once I started picking up on that, doing the indoor playground, helping other people, writing the book, it all fell into place. It was very simple.
That is incredible. And I love how you interviewed women who made those big changes. And that is so powerful, because that gives us we learn that we are free to change. Just because we've done one thing, we don't have to do this for the rest of our lives.
We don't. And of course, there's always going to be reality is always going to play a part of it. And so I want to be mindful of that. But I also want to encourage people that there are other ways to satisfy those. If you're creative, there's other ways to satisfy that as well.
And something you said, I think, is so important, is that you felt something's wrong with you, because that's what I hear so often. Mm-hmm. People, they do work they are good at or good enough at, but they are unfulfilled. And it's that thought, like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Like, or they move around careers. I've tried like all these different jobs, and what's wrong with me that I can't find one that actually makes me happy?
Yes.
Right. And that's where spark type assessment can be so powerful, or working with a career coach of figuring out what is it that who you are at your core. And you had the intuition to follow that of, okay, I love to take an idea and create something out of this.
Yeah, I do.
And that is fulfilling for me. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get to do that at work, something is missing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you think about the future, do you see opportunities where you get to do this even more, to teach others, and then through those sharing your ideas and insights help to create and make things?
Yeah, I mean, my 10x goal is to create a program for female entrepreneurs that's taught in entrepreneurial schools all over the country. That's my dream. So how I get there, I don't know yet. I will figure it out, though.
You will.
Yeah. So that's my big goal. I'm starting with a challenge, and everything builds. Yeah. And that's just how life works. You just have to catch the momentum. And then once you get the momentum, don't let it go. And I know it can be really scary that once you have momentum, a lot of times you're like, ooh, I'm going to put the brakes on. This is feeling scary. But I just decided a while ago that I had to rise to the occasion. I had to be the woman who could hold those feelings of, this is challenging, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I think that anybody can embrace that. It's just a matter of deciding.
Absolutely. And a thought I had when you shared earlier that you weren't quite sure if this coaching and mentoring is really for you. I'm wondering, because the sparkotypes, they all exist on a spectrum of being very process-driven to very service-driven. Mm-hmm. But I wonder why the coaching mentoring wasn't an immediate like, oh yeah, this is, I want to spend all day, every day guiding and mentoring others.
You know what it was? It was a confidence. I didn't think I could do it or I couldn't be of value.
Wow.
That's what it was. And then when I started doing it anyway, just for free and just helping people, I realized, oh wait, I might have some ideas that actually are helpful. But for me, I was very much, just not good enough. And I think that that's a very common thing for people. Mm-hmm. And they don't even put themselves out there because they don't think they're going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And I remember I always wanted to write a book. Like, I probably have 8 different books started on my computer of different things. And I didn't want to actually publish any of them because I thought, well, there's always going to be someone smarter. And there's always going to be someone who's a better writer. And I worked through it. And finally, I realized I could write the worst book in the world. But if I just do it, then I'm not saying my book's bad, but I'm saying that I could write any book and I would have made my goal of writing the book. So let's just do the best one we can, Heather. Like, that's what I was telling myself. Just do the best you can. And so I think with coaching, it was the same thing. Well, would people actually want to pay for me to coach them? And now I realize that was just a story I was telling myself. But for a long time, that's what I lived with. So I understand what you're saying. But in this case, unfortunately, it was more about self-worth and what I thought it was worth.
And that is such a common theme. Thanks for sharing that so honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something maybe women struggle even more so with than men, is that they're thinking we're not good enough. And then we're drawn to sharing our ideas, sharing our insights. And there's always that internal block that stops us from doing it and moving forward of this isn't good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always been a big thing. But what I'm learning from a lot of people who are probably 10 years younger than me is that they don't really have that mindset quite as much. Or if they do, they're moving through it faster than maybe people my age. And I don't know what that is, but I really like it. And so I'm going with it. So I have a coach who is probably about 14 years younger than I am, a mindset coach, and she's fabulous. And she's just breaking barriers all day long because she thinks differently than I do. So then she helps me apply that to my thoughts about myself. And that is helpful. It's extremely helpful. Say, if I could do that for someone in a business setting, that would make all the difference in the world.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give for someone who has that idea or something like, oh, I wish I could do this, but I'm not going to be good enough?
Oh, gosh.
What's the first step?
I would say that the first step is to write down your idea, what you really want to do. And know that there are people ahead of you who are not as smart and not as talented, but they had the guts to do it anyway. And know, okay, I'm going to do these 3 things every day towards my goal. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be sleeping more, reading a book, and drinking extra water. It doesn't matter. But if you do those things over a year, guess what? You're going to be healthier and smarter. Everybody starts somewhere. You can't compare your story to someone else. All you can do is compare your story to yourself. So I'm not going to compare myself to you. I'm going to compare myself to where I was a year ago. Well, a year ago, where was I? I hadn't joined an entrepreneur club in Hawaii yet. I hadn't published my book yet. I hadn't met all these fabulous women yet. Had never been on a podcast before yet. And now a year later, my life looks completely different. And so that was because I decided that I wasn't going to live small anymore. And it doesn't matter how you want to do it. You can do it however you want to. You can say, I'm really scared to start this, jewelry making business, but I'm going to do it anyway. And maybe you take a jewelry class and you learn a new skill. And maybe you never do anything professionally with it, but you learned a new skill. Maybe you met somebody nice. That's fun. That fills our hearts and it adds purpose to our lives.
That's such an important message to start small. Of what's the first step you can take, right? If you have that dream of starting a jewelry business, I wouldn't recommend quitting your job today and going in full-time tomorrow.
No. One more thing is I love when people tell me I can't do something. So in my 20s, I really wanted to do something. They told me I couldn't do it because I needed health insurance. So I was 21. I knew nothing. But I knew, I can call this company and get my own health insurance so that I don't have to worry about a company telling me what I'm doing, because I had my own health insurance. And that's what my parents always tell me. You need a job for health insurance. So just maybe if you reframe it and think it outside the box, other people's limitations don't pertain to you anymore.
Yes. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it can really be helpful to have that outside perspective,
yes,
like a career coach, like a business coach, who can help you like point out to what is the limitation you're setting for yourself.
Absolutely.
And are those really a hard wall that is there and you can't, or is that a barrier, but a barrier that you can, or a hurdle that you can jump over?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's how I approach those beliefs we have as well, of like, I'm not good enough. There's no way anyone would hire me for this role. Mm-hmm. There's no way I could do this. Okay. Well, that is a belief.
Yeah.
And how do we work with this belief that we can actually eventually jump over it?
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I so strongly believe that every human has something really special in them and something mm-hmm. that they will offer to the world. And it's sad when you're never given the chance for that to come out. Everyone has potential and
Absolutely.
People haven't found their place yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, but everyone deserves to find their place and the world needs it. There's this beautiful quote from Howard Thurman. I'm probably going to say it wrong now, but the world needs more people who have come alive.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
It's beautiful.
That's really what, yes, it's allow yourself to have what you really want to do and share that with the world.
I agree. It's wonderful.
And I'm really curious to also talk about your anti-Sprecher type, because you said before of, I can feel like something's wrong with me. And
right.
a lot of people feel that. It's like, oh mm-hmm. God, there's something that I'm don't like doing. What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
But the Sprecher type assessment, it doesn't tell us what we're good or bad at. It tells us what gives us energy and what drains us. So when we're thinking of ourselves as a battery, does my battery charge up when mm-hmm. I do this? Or do I lose my energy when I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the anti-Sprecher type is. We can be super good at it, but it suggests that it does drain our energy. And we want to probably be mindful about how much time and energy we want to spend on it. And how, and if there's time for self-care we need when we do that heavier lift, or how we can take care of ourselves when we have to do it. Because most of the mm-hmm. time we have to. And in your case, your anti-Sprecher type is the essentialist, which to give a little bit context, it might be the thought that or spending time or energy on creating order, systems, processes, checklists, simplicity, or taking chaos and creating order from chaos is a heavier lift. Doesn't mean you don't love or benefit or appreciate or find really big value in systems or clarity. But if you had to spend all day, every day creating and maintaining them, it might not be as fulfilling. Does that resonate?
Oh, absolutely. One of the jobs that I had specifically was organizing a team of people and doing a lot of paperwork, and just it was not playing to my strengths at all. And yes, you're going to think you're bad at something when it doesn't play to your strengths. So that is true. But what I've learned now that I'm, you know, older is that there are programs, there are systems you can put in place. You can find somebody to do certain things for you. I mean, even before we went on this podcast, you were so organized on how you were doing everything. And I kept thinking, how does she know all this? How does she know all this? I can sit and create things. And then I look around and it is a disaster in my house. And my husband's like, oh my gosh, let's spend 10 minutes, you know, picking everything up again. So I do. And I love the order and it's wonderful. But that isn't a natural thing. I'd rather be in the zone of making, writing, creating something. That is way more fun to me. And so I really appreciate people who have the essentialist in them, because I like to be around them to show me the right ways to do things.
Thanks for sharing that so honestly. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's really what I want our listeners to take away, is there's things. For me, it's the advocate. Advocating, speaking up can be really challenging. Nothing wrong with that either. We are humans. We all have things that drain us. And I think even if then we think about starting our own business or going into careers, of having that awareness of, like, in your case, like, I love to be creative. I love to create things. I love to have ideas. I love teaching others and sharing those ideas and helping them make these ideas a reality. I don't love all that detailed work of creating a system and process and organizing all that chaos. If you're working in a team, it makes sense that someone who really loves doing that takes on that work. Or if you're starting a business, of maybe later on having that can outsource those tasks or bring in help for those. But I feel like that is a part of working smarter and not harder, where we feel like we're spending all our energy on something that just drains and drains and drains us, but giving ourselves permission to lean into what we love to do and then finding a way to work around what's the heavy lift.
Absolutely. And actually, we save more money and make more money when we're working in our zone of genius and letting other people do the things that we're not good at, because it will take me hours to do one thing that somebody could do in probably 10 minutes. So yeah. I really do believe in that. And I think it's there, and they're working in their zone of genius and they're happy. So it all works together.
Love the term working in the zone of genius. And I think that might be a conversation you have a lot with entrepreneurs. As an entrepreneur, you have to do everything. And I don't think there's a single person on this earth who will be energized by every single thing running a business involves. No,
you can't be.
You can't be. I mean, I can list you 50 things that I don't like about running a business. Right. Taxes are right on top of there.
I was just going to say, I remember meeting my accountant the first time, and she was showing me all these little things. And I said, "You really like this?" She said, "Oh, Heather, this is so exciting to me." And I thought, "You are in the right place, because this was not exciting to me." None of it.
No. Oh my God. Exactly. And I think giving ourselves the grace and saying, yeah, there's things that don't energize me, and if I don't have to do them, I would prefer not to do them. That makes us human. And I think that self-awareness allows us actually to be better and be like, okay, I'm aware I don't want to do this, but I want to do this. This is my zone of genius. And this is what makes me come alive and where I'm so good. And this is where I focus the majority of my time and energy.
I love that. I agree.
Yeah. And as we wrap up, I wonder what advice you would give to women who are ready for a change in their life, but they don't know where to start. What would be the first thing that you tell them to do?
I would tell them to journal. Take a piece of paper. Now, for me, this is easy because I like to write, but maybe for the scientists, it's not. I don't know. So what I would say is take a piece of paper and set a clock for 10 minutes. And don't think about what you're writing. Just write it all down for 10 minutes. And when you're done with the 10 minutes, see what you've written. And that's going to be your guide. You're just letting your brain flow. And do that for a week and see where you end up. Because I think a lot of times we think we know what we want, but when we start moving to those things, they might not be exactly what we thought they were going to be. And so understanding our thoughts and hearing them and giving ourselves space to think is something that a lot of people don't do. They give themselves time to think at work. They give themselves time to think for other people, but we don't actually just allow ourselves to sit with our own thoughts. And so I think that if we can give ourselves the gift of sitting down and writing for 10 minutes and not doing anything else, instead of looking at that as a waste of time or being selfish, look at it as a gift and promoting your future, I think that would really help. If it's something that they want to do with a business, I would say, talk to somebody who's already doing it. Talk to someone who's doing exactly what you want to do. It doesn't mean it's going to be your same experience, but just learn what they're doing. I absolutely love going into a bookstore and finding a book about whatever it is. Nowadays, we can just go on Amazon, do the same thing, but whatever you are comfortable with, I think finding a good book of people doing what you're doing is really positive. So that's what I would say. Journal, talk to someone who's already doing it, read a book. Those three things will expand your mind. And when you expand your mind, you find so many other paths that you didn't know were possible before you started. And that's what I want to say. You know, when I said, oh, I want to write a book, I thought that I'd be done. Whew, that was fun. But then it opened all these other doors that I couldn't have ever imagined because I hadn't done the thing yet that got me there. And so I guess that's part of like the whole be, do, have model. If we start to be the person that does the thing, then we get to have what we want. And so for so long, I was doing that backwards. I was doing the things that I wanted, but I wasn't being the person. So it was like being fake all the time. And so then I just started saying, okay, these are the things that I really want in my life. So I'm with these, who do I have to be to do that? And so it's hard to be healthy if you're not doing the healthy things. It's hard to be a writer and publish a book if you're not writing. So who do you need to be to do those things?
I love this. And there's a piece that really gave me the chills when you said it in the best possible way of when you said giving ourselves time. We're giving time to everyone else in our lives. Mm-hmm. And giving 10 minutes to ourselves to think about our future, how powerful that can be. Mm-hmm. And I love free writing. I feel like it's my way to get everything that's going on in my head out onto the page. And I think that's such a powerful way of starting off 10 minutes of free writing a day. Yeah. Just let the words flow. Maybe they don't make any sense. Maybe for the first 5 days you're writing, nothing makes sense. That's fine. Mm-hmm. No one's there judging you. This is just for yourself. But I think as you keep doing it, things will start clarifying. And if you're writing about what you want your future to look like, things will start to suddenly, pieces are starting to make sense and fall into place. And it might get you on a track that you never thought possible for you.
Absolutely. And there's a writing coach, I think it's Julia Cameron, and she would say, do morning pages every day. So instead of 10 minutes, she would say, fill 3 pages in a notebook. And she said, even if you write, I don't know what to write. You did that for 3 pages. It doesn't matter. Just write something. And you're going to not end up writing, I don't know what to write for 3 pages. Something will come in your mind at some point. So I think that's such a powerful exercise for everybody to do.
I 100% agree. And I've done this where you just have to keep writing. And then there's nothing that comes, you just write, I don't know what to write. And then you write that a couple of times and another thought pops in your head mm-hmm. and you keep writing about it. Incredibly powerful.
It is powerful.
And Heather, this was so amazing. Where can listeners connect with you and learn more about you and your work?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. This is so fun. I love doing this assessment. So I have a website, heatherhayes.co, or at heatherhhayes on Instagram.
So those and if people want to read your book, which I highly recommend yes. everyone to do, I was so excited to learn more. Where can they find it and tell us more about it?
So it's on Amazon. It's a very quick read. There are 10 chapters. Each chapter is a secret story and solution. And then at the end of the chapter, it will give you 3 questions. So if you are someone who wants to open a business or wants to redo what you're doing already, those questions will be great for you.
Oh my God. Yes. And anyone, I think also for people who just want to get into this entrepreneurial mindset can so benefit from this book and really evaluating of where do we want to spend our time and energy?
Yes, absolutely.
Heather, this was amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had the best time talking to you. And you shared so much incredible information and advice with our audience.
Thank you.
And I think you've really given us a lot to think about, from figuring out where to invest our energy for real fulfillment, also why self-care is so important and has to be a priority for all of us. Mm-hmm. And if any of our listeners are feeling ready to make a career change, if you are thinking about starting your own business, you have to talk to Heather. If you're thinking, I want to make a career change, but staying in the corporate world, then I'm the person to talk to. And I would love to help you get clear on your next career move. I am offering a free career clarity call to help you figure out what's next in your career and how to get there. All you got to do is DM me clarity and I will send you the link. Please also make sure that you follow me on LinkedIn. I am at Teresa A. White on LinkedIn and share daily advice for career changers. And you also don't want to miss next week's episode. And make sure you subscribe to the Career Clarity Unlocked podcast on Spotify and Apple. And if you would leave a review, that would mean the world to me. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. And we will see you next time.